Welcome to the Forgotten ECE, the show where before and after school educators, summer camp and PD staff, and CYWs have a place where they are seen, heard, and valued. I'm your host, Jamie Wagler, and I am so excited you're here. Jamie here, and thank you for joining me on the Forgotten ECE. I am so sorry I've been AWOL for like a month, but I'm back and I'm super excited because there's lots of fun things happening over here at the Forgotten ECE in the next couple weeks, which you'll love. Totally worth the random pause, but it's fine. Today, though, I am joined by two very inspiring educators, Jazz Harvey and Charisse Goure. Say hi, ladies.
Hi.
Jazz is an RECE alumni from Mohawk College, currently working towards her diploma as a resource consultant through Seneca College. Jazz has worked in before and after school programs for a number of years throughout Waterford, Boston, Toronto, and Stratford, Ontario. And Charisse is currently working towards her bachelor's degree in early learning program development. She has been designing, organizing, and executing camp programs for over 2 years, also runs a before and after school program. Together, Jazz and Charisse were honored last year to present two recreational staff, summer camp employees, and fellow RECEs their expertise on setting up a successful camp, and I am thrilled that they agreed to discuss that here today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jamie.
This is so weird for us because we might also work together, so putting a mic in front of us might be a little entertaining for you tonight. We'll jump right in, unless you guys have anything to say to start.
I'm just really excited to be here. I've been following your podcast for a while now. Well, since the beginning, diehard fan. And I'm just excited to be part of this.
Aw, thank you.
And now I'm supposed to follow that up. Thanks, Jamie, for having us. It's super exciting.
Absolutely. Jazz and Charisse are huge advocates for our field and for before and after school education and school age all around. So it's great. It's great that we're all here together.
Yeah.
So let's get started. When designing your layout for summer camp, so picture this. You were just asked to run summer camp program 2.0. You
know. Take us back 2 years. That was me rewinding, by the way.
What do you take into consideration? What's your first thoughts?
If you don't mind, I think the biggest one for me is the four foundations: belonging, engagement, expression, and well-being. I think that has to be apparent in, you know, every program that early childhood professionals run.
That's awesome.
We also look at our room arrangement and see what we need to have in our whatever room we're given, whether that be a gym or a classroom or wherever that may be.
The hallway.
A place that we've been asked to run.
Exactly.
Is there a preference between the gym, the hallway, classroom? What is your thought on that?
I think the gym is like ultimate. That gives you so much room to utilize, and you can also have the gross motor activities, fine motor activities, tabletop. It just gives you a wide range of areas that you can set up for.
It really sections off the kids too, the ones who want to play games over here, the ones who want to have a little bit more room to move around, the ones who just want to read quietly in a corner. Really gives them that space to do so. Whereas if you're in a classroom, I don't feel like it's as easy to do that. You're too compact.
Yeah, they're not as big, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because during the school year, especially on this show, I advocate how it's better to have like a permanent spot. A classroom is such a great place. But when talking about summer camp, I have to agree, like having that huge open gym, hopefully your gyms are huge and open. Sorry if they're not. Having that huge open gym, it is beneficial. And honestly, the only way to do it is if you have the gym for the whole summer. No one's asking you to take it down.
I think saying that too, it's like we're not all, you know, gifted with a beautiful big gym. So coming back to like, you know, shadowing on what you just said, sometimes you're dealt with a cart. And that was my first year working in the summer program. We had a cart. So, you know, learning how to manage all the centers and all of the areas that you need on that can just be almost like exaggerated when you go to the gym.
Yeah. And heightened and leveled
Absolutely.
Up.
Yeah, so gyms would be the best place. I think we can all agree. Okay, let's look a little bit more into room arrangement. What does that look like for you?
Well, I think the thing we have to remember is we want a well-rounded environment. So, like, making sure that you have a craft center, a block and building center, a literacy area, dramatic play, and cozy corner. After those, you know,
areas,
are set up, I think you can kind of just start moving into other areas. Like, you can add a science area, or you can add, like, gross mortar area. But just making sure that you have those five, I think, are important to create a well-rounded environment.
Like those five core.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then once you see that, you'll see what the kids engage with the most, and then you can branch off from there.
Which kind of goes into the next thing, which would be, like, just making sure that things are pushed, like, separated. What am I trying to say? Separated.
Sectioned
off, yeah. Because you want to make sure that there's enough room that, you know,
things aren't mingling. I mean, it's not a bad thing if they mingle together, but
not crowded. Yes, so avoiding exactly. Runways, right? Like, children love to run and they'll run around the tables. Obviously, we don't want them doing that indoors unless we section off that area.
Mm-hmm. So strategically placing your furniture in ways that avoid the running room.
So what I'm hearing a lot of, it's almost the same as setting up if you were going to go into a preschool room or
100%
setting up that. You're supposed yes. to put as much care and as energy as and thought into it as that. It's not just, we're going to open the door and throw out a table and here we go.
Yeah, yes. And I think provocate. You know, we strive to have play-based and go with what the children are interested in, but we have to make sure that they find that interest. So provocating each center with things like, you know, books and puppets in the literacy area. We added paper and pen or some sort of writing utensils in each area to make sure that even though you're strictly saying, okay, yeah, it's a craft center, a block area, you can also have literacy and dramatic play in those areas.
And that happened last year. Like, the kids were loving reading a story, then coming up with their own story, then reenacting it. And we put on a huge play where they got to go up on stage.
Oh, they love that.
Dress yeah. up. And that mixes a whole bunch of centers together, but you still kept them different.
Yeah, it really brings in all of the important factors of education and of what we do, but into one big thing. And, like, just what you explained right there about how they read a story and then they came up with their own play and then they got to perform it. That's a learning happening before your eyes. You can't just, if you would have walked in and saw that, like if you would have walked in and said, we're going to do a play today, it would have never been as authentic if you would have wanted them to do that. But instead, they surprised you and they did themselves because of the way you set up the room, because of what you did to those centers.
Absolutely. Just, yeah, keeping it well-rounded. I think the things too is don't forget to add your own table. As teachers, you need your own space. Absolutely. Keeping your files, keeping the, you know, first aid kits, the backpacks, the logbooks, the attendance, making sure that you're organized, keep organized. The only thing that can make things mayhem, especially with a bunch of children, is if you're not organized and don't have backup. Mm-hmm. Backup is important too, but yeah.
No, awesome. A little touch on organization. What do you think, like, should there be for important information that has to be hung, especially if you're in a licensed summer camp program? So I would like to just pause for a minute, because there's a difference between a licensed summer camp program and an unlicensed summer camp program. In licensed program, we're required to have certain information hanging up, like allergies, individual learning plans or individual needs plans, and
just making sure that those are available so if ministry comes in, yes. And, you know.
So where do you put that? Do you put that, like, the teacher table? Do you have a different spot for that? What are you thinking?
So we display a lot of it on the wall. So other supply, those who are covering our breaks, have an idea of who have an allergy,
anaphylactic,
who's got some other special need that you need to cater for. We also have a copy of it on our teacher table in our binder, our master binder. There's always a copy lying around and one up on the wall to display as well.
I think we do have the teacher table, but also we did have an area that was originally the table was set up for students. So we had hand sanitizer and Band-Aids and soap and water for them, paper towels, tissues.
The broom was there.
Garbage, recycling. So by that table, we put all of the students' information that was needed up for those purposes.
You just sparked an idea. You're telling me that you have a table designed for children to clean up their own messes.
Yes, independence. What a novel idea.
Wow. You mean you don't just clean up their room for them?
Absolutely not. We're not there to do that. We're there to encourage them to be independent thinkers and learners. And I think a lot of us forget and we get caught up in cleaning up their messes because, you know, they're not going to do it right. Well, this is a teachable moment. This is when you can give them that spray bottle with soap and water and here, you know, you spilled your milk. Don't cry about it. We just got to clean it up and move on. Teachable moments.
Amazing. Yeah. I guess it caught my attention because you do. You see a lot of people that are still, they wait till the end of the day and they're like, oh, I have this little mess to clean up. But even something as simple as setting the tables for their lunches. Yes, they bring their lunch from home, but them taking the initiative to wipe down the tables with soapy water.
And 100%.
Sweep up after they're done. Like, that adds so much more authenticity and important learning experiences to their program.
It fosters the foundations, once again, to bring it back there. It fosters belonging. You belong here. You have to take care of your areas. You have to take care of this environment just as much as we all do because you belong here. This is your place.
It also teaches them to respect what they have. Yes. And respect the materials that they're given and what they use.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Not too far off of that, is there any like equipment or furniture that you would suggest if people can get their hands on that would be a benefit to these programs?
Absolutely.
Other than like the basics of tables, chairs, what we did was got beanbags for the kids. They seem to really, really enjoy that when they're reading or they need a second to themselves in the quiet area.
Mm-hmm. So, I think rugs too. Yeah. I think rugs are incredibly important, especially if you're in a bigger area such as a gym. When they're playing on the rugs, it takes the sound down, which is good for those who are sensitive to the sound.
Especially for things like block building.
Absolutely.
It also sections off the area. You can tell what is where.
Where different areas start and yes. Where other areas finish. Mm-hmm. And you talked about sound. Can you touch on like hanging things on the wall? Is there stuff that you put up on the wall in the gym? Or I know that the brick walls or the concrete, whatever you want to call them, cement walls.
The old school walls.
They don't actually muffle a lot of sound. It actually echoes off of them. But is there like things that you can put on the wall? Is there certain tips or tricks you have around that?
Well, I love the little patches of Velcro circles. You know, Velcro was kind of our go-to for everything that we put on the walls.
And command strips.
They're renter-friendly. So, you know, your custodian won't get upset for peeling paint off the wall. But those work really great. I'm not a big fan of the sticky tack. I don't think it works very well. So when we found the Velcro strips and the command strips, that really it was a blessing, honestly.
Yep.
But once you start putting things up on the walls, it starts to muffle that sound as well. So creating not only, let's just say like a 2D environment, this is now a 3D environment. Mm-hmm. You know, you can hang things. We did a solar system off of the basketball net.
Yeah.
And that was extremely cool. And the kids were totally in love with it until the wind tangled it all up. But definitely utilize every area that you possibly can, as long as it's, once again, kind of renter friendly.
Mm-hmm. And whatever element you have in your area.
Yeah.
Like we used our basketball nets. You can heighten it, literally, the experience for them.
Mm-hmm. I like that play on words. So we've touched on furniture, we've touched on equipment, kind of. We touched on
spatial.
I'm wondering about lighting, because we all know what that awful lighting is like in schools, especially in the gyms.
It's really bad for the little minds.
Yeah,
and stuff.
So yeah. Do you have any suggestions around that?
We've utilized a lot of lamps, lowering down the lights, not as many. Because we are in a gym, you don't have any windows, so you're really boxed off. So definitely lowering down the lights, play music to help set the atmosphere as well. Music is always on.
Always on, but it depends on what level we want it to be at.
So if we want a quieter time, lights go down low. Music is soft and relaxing. If we kind of want to have a fun time, games, free play. A lot of the kids like to suggest music, so we'll play that sometimes.
We did have, the first year we had a lamp, and the lamp had the different color bulbs, and that would show, the different color light switch, and that would show you know, what kind of noise level we were expecting from the children. Now, obviously, they're not going to stick to exactly it, but it did, you know, create...
For the most part, I think they definitely were aware of what they were expected of.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great way to utilize that extra level of lighting and,
mm-hmm.
and expectations. You're really drawing the lines so that
they
know what to expect. You kind of touched on centers, the five core centers. Why do you think it's important to have those specific five centers? Is there any rhyme or reason to it? Did you just pull five centers when I suggested this? Were you like, I guess we should have literacy? And what was your rhyme or reason?
Well, talking to our resource consultant, we got a lot of really great tips from them. And with the room arrangements and some handouts, which we can also offer to whoever's listening. If you want to email or shout out to Jamie, we can send you out some really great handouts that we got from our resource consultant. But I think it's just keeping that well-rounded. Building center is really important.
Dramatic play. Craft center is so crucial.
Just fostering all of those, you know, expression through the craft center and belonging when, you know, they're proud of themselves. They go over, they make something. For instance, let's say they're in the block area and they build a castle. Great. Well, now they're excited to show. So you put it aside and you are proud of them as well. That's fostering belonging. I think literacy is important. Kids should be reading more and getting off of the tablet. So we had a play, like on the wall, we built a castle out of paper. And it was just the imagination castle. And it was just ensuring that children were using their imagination again. And I think, you know, just through each of those centers, that imagination that is created builds this incredible summer for each one of the campers.
Actually, at the end of that week was one of my favorite memories, where we had the big scavenger hunt and we designed this. I think the kids gave us some ideas as well of what they wanted. And we designed our playground to be a pirate ship.
That was so much fun. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. We made flags.
How'd you do that?
Well, each group made a flag.
Yeah.
They decided to do each group, and they did a flag.
I believe they even decided to do a pirate ship.
And then what did you use for your pirate ship?
The playground.
What?
Like the actual...
Yeah, play structure.
Yeah.
We decorated it, took their flags out there, took pictures, played games, ran around the entire school courtyard looking for different clues.
Where did we go? We went to Disneyland a lot. In the pirate ship.
Yes.
I think that was like the main one. Of them. And McDonald's. I remember McDonald's being a destination for sure.
If I had a pirate ship, I would definitely go to McDonald's.
It was great because we got to play too. You know, yes. And I think that's what this is about. If you plan your summer program right, you get to enjoy each and every day with the campers as well.
So you're telling me that you play with the kids.
We play with the kids, for sure.
Do you think that is a part, an important part of summer camp is actually playing?
Yes.
Huge.
100%.
You wouldn't believe the places I've gone into and the teachers just sit at the desk or they just sit in, like, a part of the room the whole time. They don't engage in play at all. And I mean, a lot of it's the same excuse, but we're like, oh, they don't want to play with us. Oh, they don't care.
Oh, my God. Your day would drag on. Not saying you have to play with them 24, like, the whole day, but, like, I would just be bored, honestly, if I wasn't able to play. I mean, that's one of the best parts about being an early childhood educator is you get to play.
And foster that through that love of playing through what we do.
Absolutely.
You build relationships with the kids 100 times easier when you... doesn't even have to play with them. You just sit with them. They will find their way to you and talk to you about whatever.
Oh, that's amazing. What about parent communication? Like we talked about, or parent-guardian communication. We talked about like how it's important to foster that belonging of children in the program. How do you get families to cross that invisible line at the door? How do you get them to come into your program and either join in the kids' play or just engage in what the children have been learning so they have some kind of insight into your program?
That's an awesome question.
Well, first, it's a little bit difficult because I feel like parents really think they're just there to drop off and go, not there to really see what their kids are doing, just to hear about it at the end of the day. So when parents drop off in the morning, we invite them to come in, take a look with their kid to see what they like to do here at camp and engage with whatever we have around the room. We also have, Jazz and I designed our back wall to have information for the parents, whether that be a calendar that says what's upcoming, field trips, things like that. We had pictures and documentations of the kids that, of what they did and what they were interested in throughout the weeks that they could look back on. And honestly, the parents really loved it. The kids loved showing their parents what they were up to as well.
And that's just taking, you know, the sleeves. What do you call the plastic sleeves?
Like the page protectors.
The page protectors. You take a few page protectors, you put them up, you make a collage on your phone, you print it out, and it's as simple as that. And you just throw it up. It doesn't matter if it has a theme or
words.
You know, words doesn't matter. But the fact that there are pictures up invites the children to show their parents, creates that, you know, bond with the parents as well. You know, you're not just picking up, going to work. No, you want to see what your kid's doing that day. And having that on the back wall was definitely beneficial for everybody, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I think it helps that the kids are excited about it, you're excited about it, so then inviting them in, that's a great way to kind of cross that threshold. I'm just going to say the reason it was on the back wall, not only because it was a big wall, but the entrance door to the center is at the back wall.
Yes.
Which is where the
parents come in.
Yeah.
But you could even switch it up and put it at the front, because that would invite the parents or the families to go straight through and actually see the center instead of just dropping off and picking up. So you can switch it up and feel it out. And like as a summer camp leader, really, you know, hone in on being having that individuality and, you know, creating an environment that says those things for you and your team.
Amazing. You also had something else in there, if I remember correctly, like a parent or guardian table.
We did.
Yes.
Yep. We.
Well, also with Lost and Found, because.
Yeah. Because, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, Lost and Found.
Lost and Found is an imagination castle in its own.
Important areas to have at summer camp, Lost and Found.
Yes.
It also makes a really great donation box at the end of the year for
definitely.
Those who don't care.
Definitely.
But yeah, talk about the table.
So our info table, we had our little booklets that we created just to kind of give the parents.
Set out our themes for the
week.
Yes,
yeah. Exactly. Give them a set out theme, what we have planned for the week, the main big activities we have planned, if we have any field trips.
Making sure they don't forget their hats and their
water bottles
and their sunscreen.
And extra clothes, you know, all the things. It just served as a reminder, but a sectioned off area where parents, that is designated to the parents themselves.
No, that's awesome. And just to give the listeners like an idea of what these books look like, they were like how you used to fold a card in those, like four.
Like a normal sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Folded in four.
And then into like these gorgeous booklets that Charisse and Jazz have designed, that like the first one they had an introduction of the staff with pictures of the staff, but like in cartoon format that was all hand drawn. And then they opened it up and it kind of gave like an intro to what they can expect at summer camp. And then each week we're going to talk about themes, but based on the theme of the week, that's what the booklet looked like. And it also included something incredible, which was something that the families or children could do at home to kind of.
That was a big hit.
It was like, I know you did something as simple as like a word search or a, try this at home, or here's a
Play-Doh
recipe. Yeah. Play-Doh. Like it was just a really great way to hone in. Hey, not only are you learning here, but you should also take that important time one-on-one at home to play with your children.
Yeah, because we have these kids for a long time. And God, there's no judgment whatsoever. It's hard world right now. But
we know how much bananas are.
Right, but you know. Giving them the opportunity to take 5 minutes and just really be with their families, I think was important. But even as siblings or cousins, you know, sitting down with your sibling and making Play-Doh together or drawing one of these characters. Or
trying out an experiment that the kids could do.
By themselves.
Yeah.
Without
adult supervision.
Wow, that's so much fun. No, that's awesome. I think we can all agree, but crossing the threshold and getting families involved into your programs is an important aspect. And What does that look like when, in terms of community? Like, how do you ensure that either the community is involved or your center's community is involved into these programs?
Well, we had an entire week dedicated to community outreach. We called it Community Week. I know, it's shocking.
So original.
I know. It was basically, Jazz and I came up with this worksheet that of things that we needed. Because, you know, how funding goes for centers.
That's another episode.
So yeah, we just kind of came up with a list together of what we needed and who was willing to donate what.
Toys, craft supplies, pillows, stuffies,
boxes.
Because boxes go a long way in early childhood education.
Oh yes,
they do. We love cardboard. Yeah, but anything like that.
We also had, for parents or any family member or friend of the kids, we created this document, which, just to throw out a little, not slang, what am I looking for?
Resource?
No, research.
Research,
yeah. We put in Bronfenbrenner's diagram to show them what and why we're doing this. To reach out to your community is super important. So they can come in, choose a day, pick a time spot, a half an hour even, come hang out with the kids, come show them something.
We had one mom do a yoga session, a mindfulness 5 minutes. We had police officers. Ooh, the tattoo artist, that was really cool. We had police officers, firefighters.
Paramedics.
This is where you can really reach out to your community, and like Charisse was saying, the ecological system, showing the kids that and the families that it's not just about them and their immediate family. It goes bigger than that and then bigger than that. And really, you know, making sure that our community is working together, because it takes a village.
Yeah.
It really does, and I love that, like you said, like the quote unquote regular, like, oh, we had a firefighter and a paramedic and a cop come in. But you also had, like, people that you wouldn't expect to come in and talk to summer camps. And they ended up bringing the most amazing experience, like a tattoo artist.
She even brought in little fake tattoos.
That was so cute.
Yeah, kids ended up making themselves a little sleeve.
Oh, and the kids loved it. They absolutely loved it. And they learned about all of these amazing careers. And they learned about how all of these people help our community in one way or another. You had a massage therapist come in.
We did.
And they all did the little feet massages on their own feet. But she brought a whole bunch of oils, different scents. And
all child-friendly. She did the research. These families got so into it that they did so much to make sure that not only was their presentation engaging, but, like, they were nervous coming in to talk to these children. They really put their all into it.
That was so good to see. And it just, once again, brings that sense of belonging, you know? Also, we did, with the Community Week, let's just branch off of that. You need a lot of stuff. And you know what? Most of us in our companies don't have a lot of money. Some of us are not for profit. You know, we just, if you're running a summer camp, you need a lot of things, especially with school-age children. They need more things than, you know, just your average blocks. So we did a donation list and we posted that on Facebook. We did that around the community, posted it in the libraries, and we have, you know, old children's costumes, large boxes, kids' t-shirts, coloring books, craft supplies, anything you can think of. Get a little list together and really reach out to your community for their resources. We had a stage full within the first week. A stage full of just, oh my god,
so much stuff. Lots of craft supplies, crayons, markers. A lot of it we ended up having to use as prizes.
Yeah, we did the prizes. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really great way to, you know, hone in on your community, but also get everything you need for free. Just saying.
Yeah, a lot of people were willing to help. That was really awesome. On that, you guys, this year, just like, this has carried on over the years at our centers, but this year we got to open a second location for summer camp, and we literally started with nothing. Mm-hmm. And then the summer camp we normally run usually takes stuff from our before and after school program, but we have another program running out of that room. So we had two blank slate summer camps and a lot of room to fill. And the community has come together so much for us. And it's something as simple as when you see something on Facebook, like a coffee table or a beanbag chair or a rug. And just saying, hey, like, I know you want $10 for this, but I'm wondering if you'd be willing to donate to a not-for-profit preschool or a childcare center, or could we borrow your rug for the summer and we'll give it back, we'll make sure it's clean, whatever. You honestly, you do what you have to do.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask.
Because the worst they can say is no.
Someone really smart must have told you that.
My mom.
Shout out.
But seriously, like,
utilize what you have.
And yes. People want to help where they can, and because we live in a society, and not even a society, a world right now that is hard done by, people will help where they can, and it doesn't have to be money, and it doesn't have to be big. Something as simple as, oh, my kids didn't use all of their crayons this year, or whatever, and they send those along to have one extra thing at summer camp, and it's actually beautiful how everyone comes together.
And you would be so surprised the amount people will donate once you just ask them nicely.
Absolutely.
We had a lady, I asked her for something if she would be willing to donate. She said, no, I'm really looking for the money right now, but I'm also looking to get rid of a bunch of stuff. And she gave us 3 giant moving boxes full of toys and art supplies and board games, all in really good condition. Mm-hmm. So you just be surprised once you ask.
That's incredible.
I think I just want to touch on the community part a little bit, and this would go into inclusion. We did the community week, but we also invited families to share their cultures. Mm-hmm. And I think that this needs to be shared more in a lot of different centers. We celebrated different celebrations. Holidays, I'm like trying to find a different word there, events. But from around the world, yep. And you know, really fostered the different diversities that children, even that weren't necessarily there, just showing that there's more than just our community. Mm-hmm. It's not just, and like just really broadening it to the world. Mm-hmm. And I think I just wanted to do a little touch on that because I think it's really important.
No, it is important. Like you just, it's easy, especially when you come from a small town, and where we are is a small town. When you come from a small town, you don't always get a taste of all the amazing things that there is out there in this world. And giving that to the children, giving them some idea of how much more incredible things are out there, it opens their eyes and their minds to so much more than what they might have grown up around or what they're used to. You guys also did something really incredible with the educators in the child care center. So not only did you invite community members, you also invited educators down. Can you tell me what that looked like? Because I'm sure a lot of listeners, especially supervisors, would be like, as if I have time or hours or space to send down someone who's working another program to summer camp. What did that look like?
Yeah, sure. I can talk about it. All right.
You go.
So what that looked like is they took an hour, half an hour, however long.
Well, we had the sign-up sheet.
Yes, we had a sign-up sheet. Took a certain amount of time, whatever day a week they would like to come, whether that be for 1 week of the summer, or sorry.
1 day.
1 day for a certain allotted time, or if you want to come every Thursday, every whatever.
Honestly, it was just whatever works out for that person. Like most of the time, it was for an hour or less.
Yeah, and they all have something to bring to the table. We have a wonderful educator who's really great at nature. So she did a nature activities. We have another educator who's great at science.
Oh my God, that was so much fun. Mad scientist, yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. The kids loved it. They got to see a different face.
What would happen is that teacher would switch with the other teacher. So let's say, we'll just say me and you, Charisse. Charisse would come down from her program and do a nails and hair and makeover hour. And I would go up to then the preschool program and hang out with those kids for an hour. It really helped the educators, I think, as well. Just, you know,
Take a break.
Yeah. Because you need breaks. We're
in
human.
All programs. In
yeah.
All programs.
Yes. All, and I think that helped a lot of us through the summer, you know, really.
Well, and the kids look forward to it. Like, they knew what days the scientist was coming. They knew what days hair or makeup or the confidence booster, we called it, was coming. And they did a little bit more than hair and makeup. They also talked about confidence and how to build confidence in yourself.
Self-love.
Or nature was coming down. They were like, oh, I get to go in the nature group today. We're going to go do this and this and this. And
they literally went out to the forest.
Yeah. Well, exploring.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And it hones in on each of the educators'
specialties. I think too, it's like the children got to sign up, so it's not like it was offered necessarily throughout the whole class, which is totally up to the educator. But there was little groups. And then you got to have that more one-on-one time, which was really special for the kids.
Oh, that's awesome. Throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want you to touch on that because it was a really incredible summer, honestly.
Yeah, it was a great summer.
We kind of touched on this a little bit, so I'm going to kind of bring it back to it because a lot of educators, especially now, are all for play-based learning, which we should be, but also emerging curriculum rather than themes. But things like summer camp is hard to run when you have to have people sign up for like an emergent, just come for a week, whatever. So usually summer camps plan some sort of theme. What does that look like for you? And is there still emergent aspects, or can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. The theme table, we have just one table. And what in the beginning of the summer before, well, as sorry, yeah, before absolutely. The summer, we plan each week. And each educator that's there at the summer program gets to take a week. So they get to really, you know, dive deep and create an imagination. Not create imagination, they already have it. But honestly, it's just a table. It's just one table that has a theme. So let's say, you know, Charisse, you did the ocean week.
Yep.
That was fantastic.
Put out sensory activities for the kids to interact with. Facts about different ocean animals or the ocean itself. We had sensory bottles out.
And if that grew, it would go across
the whole center.
The whole center. Yes. But if it didn't grow, if it was like a miss, then it stayed to the table and kids found other stuff.
Yeah, we had like game show yeah. week was one of the favorites.
And even the kids now come back and still want to do it. Like this week we just got
some buzzers. And then some tables. Yeah. And all of a sudden there was this beautiful presentation from the children. We just got to sit back and enjoy.
There was kids this year that signed up specifically for game show week and have basically planned the whole week themselves.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. Which I think is an important thing too. Like all of our theme tables, yes, they're there. But as the week goes on, we add and take away stuff depending on what their interests are with the actual theme. So even though, yes, there is a theme, it's geared towards what their interests are and how they like things and play-based.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. I know I've kept you for so long. We're going to wrap up soon. But there was one more really important thing that I love that you guys put into your programs, and it was your mantra. Can you tell us about your mantra?
Can we remember it?
Yeah.
Okay, should we try it? I am brave.
I am strong.
I am kind.
And
I am loved.
Yeah. Yes. The reason we were sounding like that is because we have the actions. We did it also in ASL as we were saying it.
And ASL is American Sign Language. Keep going.
As we were doing it, and we really wanted to have this mantra for the kids to say in the morning so they can feel what they're saying. They know that they're brave. They
created
know they're
togetherness and yes. inclusion. Yeah.
Yeah. Super, super important, especially at some of the ages that these kids are getting where they're having possible self-esteem issues or questioning things. It's just a space for them to
make sure they're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and you guys would say that more than once a day. Yeah. Right?
We would say it in the morning. We would say it before lunch. It's almost like a prayer. I mean, at that point, you know,
just a reminder throughout the day that it's true. We even had it written on the mirror.
Yes, we did.
So they can see it as well as not just hear it. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we would hear the kids like in small groups do it just with themselves.
Yeah.
Which was so special.
Makes your heart burst, honestly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, you guys really went above and beyond. In my opinion, you went above and beyond the call of duty when it comes to summer camp because you made it more than just a fun place to come during the summer. You made it a home away from home for these kids who spend a huge portion of their day with you for two whole months. A lot of summer camp is tricky because, yes, people sign up for themed weeks and, yes, people get to go to different places, but some people, it's not really a choice. You have your families have to work, and it's wherever you can get a spot because it's just like childcare at this point where it's hard to come by. And if children have to stay at the same spot all summer, it's hard on them. It's hard on the families. It's not easy. Yeah. And making it someplace authentic like this and someplace where kids love to come and they feel loved and safe and strong and kind, it's really bringing it home. As we wrap up, was there anything else that you wanted to add that I miss asking you about?
I think just because of, you know, what's happening right now with early childhood education, I think a lot of teachers are going through burnouts and things like that. Listen, summer camp is tough. Working with that many children is not easy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that. So kudos to you, educators. Like, you're rocking it, killing it. But make sure to take care of yourselves. Make sure if you need that 5 minutes, tap out with somebody and say, hey, I need 5 minutes. It's okay. It is okay to make sure that you're mentally okay to be there. It is not something to be ashamed of. Yeah. And just creating that self-love for yourself, I think, is so important. Because, you know, you're in an airplane. Who do you save first? You save yourself.
Yep. We've also talked about saving your day. That could be literally anything. Could be having a piece of chocolate in your car.
Yep. Saving your day is like a new thing that we've all started. And I love it.
It's honestly helped out tremendously.
Question time. If you watched it, it's actually a segment, okay? Segment. It's actually a segment. But instead of people asking me a question, I have one last question for Charisse and Jazz. And you can answer in whatever order you want to. But what is one thing you would like listeners to walk away with today, if nothing else?
Ooh. Okay.
And Harold, all this good meaning.
I got it. Inspiration. Inspiration. If we can inspire you a little bit as a leader, as a supervisor, as an ECE, RECE, or any early childhood professional, as a parent or family member, if you took a little something to inspire your summer with your children, that is, I mean, all I can ask for.
Yeah.
All right, if you curious cats are interested in getting a hold of Jazz or Charisse, you can find Jazz on Instagram at MissJazz22, that's MSJAZZ22, or Miss Charisse on Instagram at Miss_Charisse, that's MISS_SHERESE. Thank you two so incredibly much.
Thank you. This was so
much for joining me on the Forgot AC.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for having us.
Oh, we will have you again. As long as the listeners can get through our ranting. Honestly. Thank you, everyone, signing off. And I will see you or hear you. You'll hear me in 2 weeks. Bye.
Thank you, amazing listeners, for your support. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at MissJamie_RECE. Give a star rating and leave a review. Have something you want to hear about in relation to before and after school programs or full day summer camp? DM me or comment. Again, thank you so much and happy learning.